This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, shaking off the trophy wife, better education and jobs for women wear down the dull-witted arm candy act, and a novelist delves into a true crime, writing a gritty novel about a series of unsolved murders in New Hampshire's Upper Valley. But first, today's report from the USDA's Economic Research Service upends the notion that healthy food options are more expensive for consumers than sweet and fatty junk foods. The report points out that price depends on how you measure it. When factored calorie by calorie, a chocolate donut will often cost more than a tomato. Price is also the chief tactic of Hank Cardello. The former Coca-Cola and General Mills executive is now director of the Obesity Solutions Initiative. He recently authored a report which quantifies his argument to the food industry. Producing healthier foods would lead them to greater profits. As part of our series Shifting the Balance, we asked Hank to make his case for what he thinks could be a game changer in solving America's obesity epidemic. Hank Cardello, we spoke to you after your 2009 book, Stuffed, so I welcome you back to Word of Mouth.
Oh, thank you, Virginia. Glad to be here.
Now you're senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and lead author of a recent report funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It's called Better For You Foods. What makes this a groundbreaking report?
Well, this is the first time that we evaluated all the products that the major packaged goods, food and beverage companies were marketing. And what we discovered was that those companies that sold, higher levels or above average levels of what we call better for you foods, which are lower calorie versions or, generically good for you, like whole grain products or yogurt, those companies selling more of those products enjoyed larger sales increases over 5 years. Their profits were higher, their returns to shareholders were better, and they had superior reputations.
Most anyone knows which foods are better for them to eat. By directing your paper at the food industry and public health advocates, what can they learn from each other?
Here's the core of the issue. What drives industry is to grow their companies, grow their brands, make more profit. So their goal is to grow while, given obesity, the goal is to shrink. So those two objectives are in conflict with each other. So the key is, how do you align those two? What's happened historically is the public health community has come at this from almost a moral argument. You should be selling better for you products. It's better for our kids, et cetera. We have a crisis. As opposed to saying, okay, here's what you care about, which is your bottom line or your market share or building your consumer base. Here's how moving in this direction helps you achieve your agenda. And in this way, we don't get into a conflict. I mean, things, for instance, like soda taxes. What do you expect those companies to do? Out come the lobbyists, out come the money, as opposed to perhaps incenting them to go in the right direction.
All right, give me the facts. I'm a big food industry executive, and you say to me what? This is how much money you could save. This is how much more you could make. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
We can show, for instance, over the last 5 years that a little under 40% of the products are better for you, yet they accounted for 3/4 of the growth over 5 years. In fact, those companies that were pushing their more traditional or indulgent products actually showed declines or smaller growth percentages.
Well, Hank, you know full well that a lot of people accuse some of these big food companies of labeling their foods, you know, heart healthy or low fat when they're loaded with sugar, that kind of thing. There's kind of a fundamental mistrust of how they do things. I mean, is it enough to say, oh, we're educating kids, we're making better for you foods? Is that enough to make big food behave differently?
Well, you know, my point of view is try to oversimplify the crisis. Just focus on one thing, and that's pulling calories off the street. I think what's historically happened is every micro issue gets surfaced, and we spend a lot of time among the trees instead of looking at the forest here. I mean, let me give you an example of something that I think are some good things that are going on that never gets spoken about, for instance, like this Way to the Nation initiative that's out right now. If you really talk to the folks at General Mills and you see what they've been doing about lowering the sugar in their products, I mean, they're actually starting to bonk against the wall. They're taking out so much sugar now that the Lucky Charms don't float anymore. Mm-hmm. They go down to the bottom. companies like Coke and Pepsi are selling the same amount of liquid, if you would, per person, yet the number of calories they're selling per person are down as much as 25%. When you really get down to consumers, the way they make their decisions, there's three key reasons: taste, taste, and taste. And then we get down to convenience and then value. And then on a good day, you get down to, is it better for me or is it healthier? At most, about a quarter of the population walks their talk on this issue. If you really think about it, every time you go into a grocery store, the first thing you see are fruits and vegetables. So it's not a lack of awareness. I think from a consumer standpoint, what we have is that, unfortunately, we haven't figured out how to make broccoli taste like a cheeseburger.
The Weight of the Nation, the documentary on HBO, which premiered this week, and also it's the theme of a conference sponsored by the CDC. And it is very much about people taking action, becoming advocates for better eating habits. How does an initiative like Better for You Foods dovetail or interact with that kind of advocacy?
Well, in reviewing the recommendations that come out of this Institute of Medicine and CDC initiative, it's light on the how-tos. In other words, yes, we need to make healthier foods more available. We need to make the healthy choice, the easy choice. It's very difficult to disagree with that. I mean, it makes perfect sense. However, the way to get there is where I believe things fall down, because what has also happened coming out of that, many of the folks on the medical and the public health side commenting on that, typically they go towards, all right, we have to blame the food industry. There's too many calories out there. There's mistrust on their practices and marketing to children, things like that. Therefore, can never trust them, and we have to impose regulations. And my point is that the longer we have this protracted war where it's so extreme, regulations versus, if you would, freedom to practice, we're going to lose another generation of children to obesity. Mm. That to me is a disgrace for us to allow that to happen. It's not enough to be right anymore. Everybody's tried to be right over the last two decades. We have to move on from that and come up with real-world, practical, how-to types of solutions, which is why I'm a big proponent of things like incentives. I mean, a lot of people don't like giving companies that make a few billion dollars in profits incentives. However, if it helps us achieve our public health needs to reverse obesity, then so be it. Who cares?
Hank Cardello, I want to thank you for joining us again. Great to talk with you.
Oh, my pleasure, Virginia.
Hank Cardello is Senior Fellow at the Hudson Institute and Director of the Obesity Solutions Initiative. We posted a link to his report on harnessing the power of the food industry by pushing profitable, better-for-you foods, as well as more on the USDA findings that healthy foods are not necessarily more expensive than junk alternatives. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org.